Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Communist Manifesto is a short political pamphlet by Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, first published in 1848 and now issued in many editions, including this deluxe hardbound fingerprint classics version. It belongs to political philosophy and economic theory rather than fiction, and its purpose is to present the central claims of communism in a direct, argumentative form. The text explains history through class conflict, arguing that societies develop through struggles between economic classes and that capitalism intensifies the divide between the bourgeoisie and the proletariat. It criticizes private property, wage labor, and the instability of capitalist systems while calling for collective action by workers. Because it is compact, forceful, and historically influential, the book is often read both as a primary source in political thought and as a landmark document in modern social criticism. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, class struggle as the engine of history. The manifesto is built around the claim that historical change is driven by conflict between classes, with opposing material interests. Marx and Engels frame past societies through recurring struggles, and in the modern era, the central conflict is between the bourgeoisie, who own capital and productive assets, and the proletariat, who sell labor to survive. This approach matters because it rejects the idea that history is mainly shaped by ideas, great leaders, or moral progress alone. Instead, it treats economic relations as the foundation of political power and social organization. The book uses this framework to explain why capitalism generates tension even while it creates wealth and technological development. By centering class struggle, the manifesto offers a method for reading social institutions as expressions of deeper economic structures rather than neutral arrangements. Secondly, a direct critique of capitalism and private property. One of the manifesto's most recognizable features is its uncompromising critique of capitalist society. It argues that capitalism concentrates power in the hands of owners while reducing workers to labor that can be bought, controlled, and replaced. Private property, in the manifesto sense, is not treated as a universal moral good, but as a system that protects the dominance of one class over another. The text also describes capitalism as revolutionary in a limited sense because it transforms production, expands markets, and reshapes the world. Yet it does so through exploitation and instability. This tension is central to the book's argument capitalism is dynamic and productive, but it also deepens inequality and insecurity. The manifesto does not simply complain about unfairness. It presents capitalism as a historical system with built-in contradictions that, in Marx and Engels' view, prepare the ground for its own replacement. Thirdly, why the proletariat is presented as the revolutionary force. The manifesto argues that the proletariat is the only class positioned to challenge capitalism fundamentally, because workers have little property to defend and are bound together by shared conditions of labor. This is not just a moral appeal to sympathy. It is a structural argument about political agency. Workers are portrayed as increasingly organized by the very system that exploits them, since industrial production gathers them into factories, cities, and shared workplaces. That concentration can produce class consciousness, meaning an awareness that their interests differ from those of employers and owners. The text therefore sees revolution not as a spontaneous uprising, but as the outcome of economic pressure, political organization, and collective understanding. This idea gives the manifesto its practical edge. It identifies a social force capable of transforming the system rather than merely reforming it. The language is urgent because the authors believe that workers must act together to create a new social order. Fourthly, the vision of communism as a classless social order. Although the manifesto is famous for its criticism, it also sketches the political goal behind that criticism, a society without class domination. In this vision, communism would replace private ownership of the means of production with collective ownership, removing the economic basis of exploitation. The text presents this as a change in social relations, not just a change in government. A classless society would also be stateless in the long run, since the state is understood as an instrument through which one class governs another. This is important because the manifesto is often reduced to slogans, when in fact its end goal is a structural transformation of property, labor, and power. The book does not provide a detailed blueprint, but it clearly defines the direction of change. Its political imagination is therefore both radical and abstract, focusing on the abolition of class society rather than on administrative details. Lastly, a polemical pamphlet that became a global political reference, the manifesto stands out not only for its ideas but for its form. It is concise, rhetorical, and designed to persuade rather than to present balanced academic argument. That style helped make it memorable and accessible, which is one reason it has had such lasting influence. Readers encounter it as a manifesto in the literal sense, a public declaration with a clear side, a clear enemy, and a clear political program. Its historical impact is enormous because it became a foundational text for Marxist movements labor politics, socialist thought, and later debates about revolution, reform, and inequality. At the same time, the book is often read critically because the political outcomes associated with Marxism in later history diverged from the text's ideals. This tension between theoretical force and historical controversy is part of what makes the work enduring. It remains essential not because it resolves every issue, but because it defines the terms of a debate that is still active. In conclusion, The Communist Manifesto is best suited for readers who want a compact but foundational introduction to modern political critique, especially students of political theory, history, economics, labor studies, and social thought. It is also valuable for general readers who want to understand where key ideas such as class struggle, bourgeoisie, proletariat, and collective ownership come from. Its main benefit is not practical instruction in the ordinary sense, but intellectual clarity. It gives a clear framework for analyzing inequality, power, and the social effects of capitalism. Compared with longer works in political philosophy, it is unusually direct and easy to situate historically, which makes it a common starting point for studying Marxism. Compared with later books about socialism or capitalism, it is more urgent and foundational because it is a primary source rather than a retrospective commentary. This edition is especially suited to readers who want a durable, collectible format of a text that remains central to political debate, historical study, and the vocabulary of modern critique. If you would like to support Karl Marx, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.